if you would like to turn in your Bibles to Paul's second letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy, be in the first chapter this morning. We'll read all of chapter 1 and then kind of focus in around chapter or verses 6 through 10 or so. But the other is important for context. And as you're spending some time this week reading your Bibles, if you want to add a little 2 Timothy in, we'll be spending the next couple of weeks going through 2 Timothy. Let us pray. Almighty God, in our hands we hold your word. In our ears we are about to hear your word. Lord, may our hearts be open to your word. Father, speak to us this morning. May we hear your voice. May we be encouraged and instigated and moved and strengthened to go and do. Because of what you say to us this morning. Make your word alive to us. Open our hearts. Help us push everything else aside as we come before the throne and hear your word. Amen. Remember that 2 Timothy is a letter written by Paul, who wrote 1 Timothy, to Timothy, of course, which also he wrote 1 Timothy to him as well. The receiver of this letter was the same. Also us. This letter was also written to us. And so its words and its messages are important to us as well. One great difference between the two books, as I mentioned last week, is that this letter was written from a man on death row. Paul was facing death, having been imprisoned once and released, and then Nero became the emperor and outlawed Christianity, so now he had Paul in prison as the outspoken Christian in that area, the planter of churches, the apostle, the messenger, the herald for God. He was imprisoned and facing death. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did, and with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am, yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard that which I have entrusted him to that for that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with the faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard with the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord show mercy on the household of Onesiphorus, because he has often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, He searched hard until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. Be easy to go on. There's such good things in this letter to Timothy. Maybe you picked up in verse 12, the inspiration for that great old hymn. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able. Amen. Let's work backwards then to that section around verse 6. What Paul is writing here, he talks about the grace of Christ. And it's so important, an important concept here, not the one we're really focusing on today, but an important concept can be found in verse 10, 9 and 10. The grace of Christ that was given before the beginning of time. That's an important concept to hold on to. And Paul is saying that which is poured out to us has been available, was made ready before the beginning of the world. And then this Jesus who Paul persecuted and then got to see and then came to believe, this Jesus opened up that grace, revealed it, made it available to us through his death and through his resurrection. And we may take part in this. We should not be ashamed to tell about Jesus, but we should take part in the sharing of the gospel. And so Paul says, again, back in verse 6, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which you received through the laying on of hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, some verses say fear, or some versions say fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Now I want to talk about this fanning into flame the gift that Timothy has received. You know, a fire has to have three things to exist. It has to have a fuel. It could be gasoline, it could be a log, something has to be there to burn. It has to have an ignition source, a spark, and it has to have oxygen. If you take any of those things out, you can't have fire, right? Just, you have to have an ignition source, you have to have oxygen, and you have to have a fuel. Many people were surprised, pleasantly surprised, but surprised when the C5 crashed out here a few years ago that there was no big fire. And the reason there was no big fire is because the C5, kind of unique among large airplanes, has a fire suppression system. It has nitrogen, liquid nitrogen, in the airplane. And as the fuel is being burnt, that liquid nitrogen turns into gas and expands and pressurizes the tank as the fuel is leaving. So as the fuel departs, there's never any fumes and never any oxygen in the tank. So even though there was fuel, and even though there was ample sparks, I'm sure, when that massive metal electrified wires, all that hit the ground, they had spark and they had fuel. But there was no air, no oxygen. So there was no fire. To have fire, you have to have all three of these things. So Paul is telling Timothy, you have this gift. Fan it in the flame. Raise it up. Make it burn brightly, because from fire we get light. And Paul is saying this with tremendous urgency, because even though he says he longs to see Timothy, he knows he will probably never see Timothy again. He may never have another opportunity to speak to him or to share with him. So he is speaking with this urgency. Fan this up. Shine a light. The world is becoming rapidly more and more dark. Specifically for Paul, right, as Nero had outlawed Christianity, attempting to make it a very dark place. And he is telling Timothy, fan this into flame. You were not given a spirit of fear. You were not given a spirit of fear. You were given a spirit of power and self-discipline or self-control. God has given you power. And you've been given the Spirit to discipline yourself. Now, this is going to come into play shortly, because there is a requirement for Timothy and for us to do the things that will allow that flame to be fanned up, to be raised up, to be made brighter, to bring more light. He has the fuel. He has the gift. That's the fuel. And you know, God has given us all gifts. Romans 8, 1 Corinthians 8. We are a body. We all have different gifts, different things to contribute to the body and to allow the body to contribute to the world. We all have gifts. And that is the fuel. Timothy had a gift. Timothy was a young man put in a position of great authority, and Paul gave him some instruction on how to overcome how they might look down upon him because he was young. But now he's telling them, look, you've got to step up your game. You have the gift, which is the fuel for the fire. And you have the spark, Paul says, for the Holy Spirit lives within us. The Holy Spirit that we think of as a flame, and sometimes that is a spark. Now you have to do something. Your self-discipline has to bring you to something to allow this flame to burn as brightly as it should. And church, this is the same message for each one of us. God has given each of us a gift. If we are followers of Jesus Christ, then we have been gifted with something. Something important. Something vital to the work of the body of Christ. Something that's may utilize but's above our natural talents. Something that may utilize but is above our natural skills or our learned skills. A gifting comes from God. We have the gift. Church, we have the Holy Spirit, which is the spark. What's the third thing we need? We need that oxygen. We need that air. Imagine that, or you've seen probably in the movies, maybe you've done it yourself when camping, you're trying to get that fire started, and you've got, you know, your kindling, and you've got a little bit of a spark, and what do you do then when to get it going? You're leaning over it, what do? You blow on it, right? You push some air toward it, you breathe on it. So we've got this spark, and we've got this fuel. Where do we get the breath? What is breathed by God? The Scripture is breathed by God. We get breath from God through prayer. And Paul is saying to Timothy, and Paul is saying to us, church, you have a gift. Each one of us has a gift. This church collectively has gifts. So that we might help each other, and so that we may help our community, so that we may reach our community. We have these gifts. We have the Holy Spirit given to us. Now through self-discipline, and we've been given a spirit for that self-discipline, through self-discipline, time here, time in prayer, fans the flame, it brings air to the flame and lets it burn brightly so that we can shine light out into the world. The message for Timothy is the same as the message for us. This little light of mine, right? This isn't the only place we hear this. I'm going to let it shine, and not dimly, but brightly. Brightly. To be seen by everyone in proximity. Paul tells Timothy, let it burn. Fan it up. You've been given what it takes. It's been given to you now through what you know to do. Through that self-discipline, some versions say self-control, either one, whatever, whichever. Your responsibility now is to receive that breath from God, to open yourself to that breath from God, to open yourself through the Word and through prayer to receiving from God that which will allow that fire to flame and to flame high. And why do we want this? To testify about our Lord. Do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, but join me in the suffering for the gospel. You see, with Paul had a right to fear. He was under the threat of death. Death was impending. The Christians that lived around him had the same reason to fear. But he said, God didn't give you that spirit of fear. If you've got a spirit of fear, it came from somewhere else. But through the power of God, through your self-control, through your self-discipline, this flame can burn regardless, so that you can take a part in the sharing of the gospel. You can be part of this sharing of the gospel. You can be part in this movement just then beginning. And now, having gone on some 2,000 years, stumbling in some places, surging in others, what's it going to be here? What's it going to be here? Stumbling or running? We don't have to be ashamed, because we have the light. We understand the truth. You've heard me say this before. The shame here in 2013 in the United States, that our greatest fear is embarrassment. Our greatest fear is being ashamed to say the name of Jesus in the public arena. We're not being threatened with death. We're not being threatened with imprisonment. We can openly share the name of Christ. We should not be ashamed to do so, but we should take part in that thing that has been going on all these centuries, that Jesus had in His hands from before time, and then through coming to earth, through His death, through His resurrection, He opened and poured out that grace on this world. And people like Peter and Paul grabbed hold and they ran with it and they handed it off to everyone that would take it. And he gave some to Timothy. And now we don't know if Timothy was shaking or shaken, if maybe he had lost a little steam, or if this just is encouragement to keep going. This word used, the Greek word for fanning the flame, can mean one that's almost dying and needs to be relit. Or it can mean one that's raging and just need to keep it going. What is it for us? I think the answer is probably all of that. For us as individuals, some of us it's a new flame. Some of it's burning bright and needs the continued encouragement. Some of it once was burning bright and now has dampened a little. God did not withdraw His gift from you. God did not withdraw His Holy Spirit. If you don't feel that your gift is burning as brightly as it should, or if you're not sure what your gift is, then do that one thing that you know, or those two things that you know. Get into the Word of God. Spend time in prayer. Breathe in. Let God breathe on that fire. You've got the fuel. You've got the spark. Receive the breath. Watch the flame burn. Amen.